Passage this morning is a parable that Jesus told, only in the book of Matthew, and doctrinally it was targeting the Jewish people, but it also teaches us a great lesson about serving the Lord. So beginning in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 21, Jesus said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." So today we talk about two sons. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of assembling in your name and around your word. And pray the Holy Spirit would now take the word and speak to each of our hearts and lives today, that Jesus, our Savior, would be magnified, Lord. And it would be our desire to please and to serve you. May we leave with that in our hearts. So guide us in your truth, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So really, we can take a lot from this parable, can't we? Even the first line, he said, "A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Go and work.'" Well, those are really the two things that God wants us to do as Christians more than just about anything, isn't it? He wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in." We're told to go. The last thing Jesus told the disciples before he left this earth was, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." I want you to go. But then he also wants us to work, doesn't he? He wants us to serve him. He gave us gifts. He gave us time. He gave us the strength to serve him. He wants us to go and work in his vineyard. And all through the scriptures, we're told that God wants us to work. Go to 1 Corinthians 15:58, and we'll find an example of one of those commands. But we are commanded as God's children to serve him here on this earth until we leave this earth. He saved us to serve. This is important that we understand this as God's children. He didn't save us to take a break. He didn't save us to rest. He saved us to serve. We will get a time of rest in heaven, it's called, in Hebrews chapter 4. But while we're here on earth, we're told to serve, to work. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." That is a command, that we're to be abounding in the work of the Lord. This man told his two sons, "I want you to go and I want you to work in my vineyard." I believe God says to us, "I want you to work." One of the parables Jesus told in the previous chapter, Matthew 20, had to do with serving. And he found men standing in the marketplace. And he says, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" And I believe God says that to many Christians today. Why stand you all the day idle? There's work to be done. There are things to do for Christ. We need to serve the Lord. We're here to work for Christ. So we have these two sons, and the one said, "I will not." And the other one said, I go. But the one who said, "I will not," actually repented and went, and the one who said, "I go," didn't do it. And what can we learn from this? Well, I think we can learn a lot, can't we? There's a lot of Christians that might initially react to the call to go negatively. I mean, how many of us even got saved the first time we heard the gospel? A lot of us had to hear it two or three times before we got saved. Well, initially, we were negative toward it. But eventually, we repented and got saved. And a lot of Christians are like that when it comes to this command to go and to serve and to work. Initially, it's like, "Well, I can't do that," or they're a bit reticent. But eventually, they realize, "Well, that's what God saved me to do, was to work." And so that they repent and they go and work. And This is what God's looking for from Christians, is that we, if we have this attitude that I don't want to, that we, like this young man, we repent and we go and do it. A lot of people have this attitude that nobody's going to tell me what to do. Well, God's telling you what to do. He's telling you to work, telling you to serve. And if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, God likens rebellion to witchcraft. And as much as we all would never consider witchcraft as Christians, as sons of God, God likens rebellion to witchcraft. Isn't that interesting? This is when he was rebuking Saul for his disobedience. Here in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, he says, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." If our attitude is, I know God wants me to do some things and I'm not going to do them, God likens that to witchcraft. That's rebellion. Disobedience is rebellion, isn't it? And we've been commanded to serve. We've been commanded to go. And if our attitude is, I will not, then God's going to have to do some work in our hearts, isn't he? I hope that's not our attitude. But thankfully, this young man here in verse 29 of our passage just said, afterward he repented and went. And so his initial reaction was, no, I'm not going to serve you. But then he realized that was wrong and he repented and he went. And that this is what God's after from all of us, is that we would maybe count the cost or realize how important it is, or realize how much God loves us and has enabled us, whatever it might be, but that we'll realize we need to serve the Lord. We need to be, as we're told in 1 Peter, obedient children. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And one of his commandments is to go. One of his commandments is to work. One of his commandments is to serve, to put to use the gifts that God has given us. And so he repented, the Bible says, and he went. And then verse 30, he came to the second son. So we've dealt with the first son. I'm not going to do it. But then he repented and did it. He comes to the first son, and his first response was, I go, sir. I go. And this is, he's picturing here in this illustration primarily the Pharisees, who considered themselves so spiritual, and the scribes, who said, we love God and we obey God and we obey all of God's commandments. But they were lost. They refused to repent and accept Christ as their Savior. And Jesus talked about that in Matthew 23 over there, just two chapters. Look over Matthew 23, verse 27, where he likens these Pharisees and scribes to whited sepulchers. Notice what he says here in Matthew 23, verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. So he says to these scribes and Pharisees, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You claim to love God, you claim to love God's word, but you won't obey it. And you won't accept me as your Messiah, as your Savior. And he said, you're like a sepulcher which has been painted all beautiful, but it's still on the inside, it's dead men's bones. It says, you're like that. You're all clean on the outside, but you know what? God knows the heart, doesn't he? We're told that in 1 Samuel 16. The Bible says, the Lord looketh on the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God knows our hearts. And God knows which one of these sons we are. We're either the son who might have initially said, well, I don't really want to, but I'm going to serve God because I love him and I want to obey him. Or we might be the son who speaks really well and says, oh, I love God so much. And yet really, God knows the heart and we're not really serving God like we should. And we know which son God's after, isn't it? It's the son that worked. It's the son that went. It's the son that obeyed. It's not the son that initially said, yes, I go, sir. Yes, sir. And then did nothing. That's not what God's looking for. God doesn't want Christians who talk about how spiritual they are. He wants Christians who are spiritual, amen, who are yielding the fruit of the Spirit, who are being led by the Spirit of God. And by the way, Christians who are close to God don't even talk about it anyway because they're humble and they realize they're wicked sinners. And so God is not looking for us to speak big flowing words about how much we love Him. He's looking for obedience. And let's look at that in 1 John, if we could, chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. When we show our love to others and when we show our love to God, God makes it very clear, and we've talked about this enough times, that love is action. And it's the same with our Lord. The best way to say I love you to God is obedience. Notice 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. All around the world, we have people that flock to these big mega churches and sing about how much they love God, and then they live like the devil all week. But it's all good because they sang and said they loved God. Well, guess what? It's not all good. God says, I don't want you to love in word and tongue. I want you to love in deed. I want you to show me your love by obeying my word. And this son said, I go, sir. Yes, I'm your good son. I'm your obedient son. I will go. But it says, he went not. Maybe there's some of us that have made commitments to the Lord, made promises to God along the way, and we've broken those promises and commitments. We haven't fulfilled them. Well, if you go to Ecclesiastes 5, I'll show you what God thinks about that. First of all, he tells us to be careful about making those kind of promises. But if we do, you think God expects us to keep them? Well, he keeps his. We'd be in trouble if he didn't, amen? But notice Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. And that's not just talking about money, is it? God expects us to fulfill what we say we will do. This young man said, I go, sir. But he didn't follow through, did he? He said he was going to obey his father, but he didn't. And so he didn't keep his word. And if we don't keep our word, what are we? And so he goes back to the parable here in Matthew 21, and he asks the question, which of them twain did the will of his father? Well, they all answered the question as a group. The first one, the one that initially said, I won't go, but he repented and went. He is the one that fulfilled the will of his father, not the one who boldly said, I go, sir, and then did nothing, but the one who said, initially, no, but then he repented and he went. He said, that's the one that went. And he says, the publicans and the harlots are going to go into the kingdom of God before you. He's speaking out of the Jews, and he says, these publicans and harlots, they're going to go to heaven because they're repenting and they're accepting me as their Savior. Even though in their initial response might have been negative, and they're living sinful lives in an outward sense, they finally realized, we need a Savior, and they've accepted me, and they're going to heaven. And they're going into the kingdom before you Jews who claimed, yes, we love God, and yes, we're spiritual, and yes, we go, sir, but you won't repent. Which was the first word Jesus preached, repent. You won't repent. And therefore, they're going into the kingdom of God, and you aren't. And that's the primary doctrinal application. But for us as Christians, which one of these sons do you think God wants us to be? It's obvious, isn't it? The one that went. It might have taken him a while to get there. But as we read, he said, verse 29, he repented and went. And that's the son God wants. The son that says, yes, Lord, you've given me some commands. I'm going to obey them because I love you. If you love me, keep my commandments. Go to 1 John 5:3, where the Bible makes it very clear. And I know we've looked at this a lot, but this is a very important truth. There's a lot of confusion in this world today among so-called Christianity about what love is and what the love of God is. And it's great that we sing praises, and we should. That's not loving God. It's great that we give. That's not loving God. Look what it says. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. There it is. That's the love of God, obedience. And so we can sing it all day long. But if we don't obey, then we don't love God. That's what he says. This one son initially said no, but he repented and went. And Jesus said, which one of those sons obeyed the will of his father? The one who obeyed the command in the end. The one who repented and went. The one who said, yes, I heard you. I was wrong. I repent, and I will do what you told me to do. Not the one who spoke these bold words, I go, sir, and then didn't do anything. So the man had two sons in this parable, and I think it's obvious which one Jesus wants us to be. Amen? The one who obeys. It's really not complicated. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And the rest of the verse says, and his commandments are not grievous. It means they're not a heavy burden. A lot of Christians look at commandments like, oh, that is so heavy. Oh, no. God's commandments aren't heavy. God's commandments were written by God, and God knows who we are because he made us, and he knows that if we will obey him, that is going to we're going to find true happiness that the world's looking for. He that keepeth the law, the Bible says, happy is he. That's in Proverbs 29:18. Obedience brings true peace and joy and happiness that the world is looking for. Disobedience brings the opposite. So, two sons. Which son are we going to be? Good question, huh? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for your word.